You're listening to audio from the West End Community Church in McGregor, Manitoba.
Good morning, Saints. It's a pleasure to be with you. It's always morning. As you heard, I'm from South Africa. I've been in Canada just coming up for 18 months, so still pretty new to everything and experienced two winters now, so only one summer so far, but so looking forward to another summer. And God has been amazing in the way he's just led me. My sister came over here about 7 years ago, and she married a local guy from McCreary, and so I eventually came over as well, just going on 18 months ago. And then my parents, who are also here this morning, came over 7 months after me. So our whole little family is back together and apparently living in McCreary. And I worked as a teacher and the principal of a Christian school in South Africa, and was involved in as a substitute teacher to begin with, and then did summer camp at Dauphin Bible Camp last summer, and got connected to the church in Dauphin via the camp. And I was doing some pulpit supply, and then they called me and said, well, wouldn't you like to apply for the position? And I said, well, let's pray about it. Here I am. So God has taken me on a wonderful journey, and sometimes it's been a step of faith and not knowing quite how things are going to work out, but he is faithful every step of the way. And this morning I have a message, and I've entitled it "The Name Above Every Name." And I love the word, and so you'll find there's lots of scriptures throughout the message. And I'm just going to start with Philippians chapter 2, from verse 5 to 11. And it says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And so we've just come through the Easter season and looked at some of those things that were spoken about in this passage, about Jesus coming down to earth for the purpose of putting himself on that cross, that he might die in our place and pay for our sins. We look through the scriptures in our church. We recently did a series going through the book of Luke and just looking at all of the stories recorded in the Gospels about Jesus, about his birth, his life, his ministry, and ultimately his death and resurrection. And we see that those things were set in place before the foundation of the world so that we could find freedom, we could find peace with God, because Jesus chose to be obedient to the will of his Father, that he chose to give his life up. He chose to lay everything on the line. He was with God from the beginning of creation. He was involved in creation, and yet he was willing to lay aside the glory and the majesty of heaven and step down to earth to live life as one of us, to have the same battles and trials and challenges that we face, and yet without sin. And so we see God created all things, coming down and living in obedience to the Father, to his call. Jesus spent his life teaching people how to connect with God, what the kingdom of God really was about: love and compassion, obedience to the Father.
And then came his death. And because of that death, because of Jesus' obedience, it says here that God the Father has exalted his name above every name.
And we have the privilege at this point in time to be able to choose to obey the name of Jesus, to choose to confess his name, to bow our knees before him, to exalt him as Lord. But one day that will no longer be a choice, and the whole world will see who Jesus really is. And we have that honor of doing that even now. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 23. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. And here again, we see this passage speaking to us about who Jesus is, the preeminence of Christ, that he is first and foremost above all things. It says that Jesus is the image of God. In other words, if we want to see God, we look to Jesus. We want to see what the character of God is. We look to Jesus. We want to see the compassion of God. We look to Jesus. And so Jesus takes on this image of God, and he portrays to the world that had at that stage a very distorted view of who God was. But the Father and the Son. The Father is in the Son, and the Son is in the Father. And the Holy Spirit works to point people to Jesus, because he is the hope for mankind. He is the hope for people who are lost in their sins, who are far away from God. And even creation in its current broken state and bondage to futility reflects the glory of its creator. And it's speaking about spring, and we just look around us and we see the glories that surround us, from the wide open blue skies and the animals and the birds and soon to be the flowers and things coming into bloom again. And all of these speak praise to the name of Jesus. He created them, and in him they hold together. All of the fullness of the Father dwelt in Jesus. Jesus was both fully God and fully man while he walked this earth. Jesus gave up being with God in heaven and dwelt on earth, and had to deal with the limitations of that people deal with, and giving up some of the splendor while he walked this earth. People didn't recognize him for who he was. But he did it so that we could have peace with God, so that we're no longer opposed to him and lost in our sin, but that we can be reconciled. Jesus picks us up from the rubbish heap and washes us clean and places us before the Father in right standing, clothed in his righteousness, redeemed by his blood.
And it's freely ours when we place our faith in Jesus as our Lord and what he did for us on the cross. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23 says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." So we see here Paul speaking to the church in Ephesus, and Paul's speaking about their faith, and faith in Jesus should lead us towards love for the saints. And I love that idea that you're doing with who's coming for supper, where there's fellowship and there's community. I was part of a church in South Africa that did a similar thing, and I was brand new to the church, and it was an amazing introduction and getting to know people and fellowshipping and folks that you wouldn't normally hang out with. You had a chance to get to know them and their stories. But this faith in Jesus leads us towards love for his people, because his people are created in his image. They are redeemed by his blood and given a purpose in his kingdom. And may we know the hope to which he has called us, because that's one of the greatest gifts, I think, that Jesus has given us, that we have hope. We have hope in this life when the storm clouds gather and life is hard and we're facing challenges. We have hope. We have hope in a Savior who loves us, in a Savior who redeemed us, in a Savior who walks beside us. We have this hope. We have the hope of escaping the futility of this world. And then it speaks about the inheritance of the saints. And here it means that we are his inheritance. Just as much as we cling on to Jesus and we're receiving Jesus into our hearts by faith, what has Jesus done everything that he has done for? Why did he come to earth and walk around and face all the troubles and trials that he did, die on the cross? He did that for you and for me. He did that for those who would be called saints according to the kingdom. He did that for a precious inheritance. He did that for your love and for your faith. You are his inheritance. You are what he is getting out of this whole deal. And sometimes when I look at my life, I sometimes think maybe he's getting the raw end of this deal. But yet he thought it was worth it. He thought that my life, with all of its bumps and bruises and missteps and misspoken words, he thought that I was worth it, that I would be his inheritance, that you would be his inheritance. God works in us with the same great power that raised Jesus from the dead and overcame once for all, sin and death. And so when I look at those things in my life that I'm not happy with, I realize that I don't have to face these alone. That same great power that raised Jesus is what works in me. That I don't have to overcome these things on my own, in my strength. But I have God's power at work inside of me. And so Jesus has been elevated above all things. His name is above every name, and so indeed he is worthy in this age and in the one to come when God wraps up this world and establishes the new heaven and the new earth. And it says that Jesus is the head of the church, his body on earth. Jesus could have chosen to continue to walk here in physical form, but he chose to return to his Father in heaven, to be seated at his right hand, and he chooses to work through you and me, his church. We are his hands and feet, his body at work here in the world. We are the ones who are now the image of Jesus to the world, and we're not a perfect image. But God chooses to work through us nonetheless. And what a privilege that is. And in that earlier passage that I read from Colossians, I spoke about Jesus. The fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Jesus. This passage in Ephesians says the fullness of Jesus dwells in his body, in his church, in his saints, in you and me. And so we are to the world that light, that image of Jesus. We show them what God really wants to do. We are his compassion, his love, his grace at work here on earth, ushering in the kingdom of God, showing the majesty of Jesus as we raise his name above all names and bring praise to him. Psalm 148, verse 1 to 14 kind of puts all of this into such beautiful context, where it says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him. Praise the Lord." And this should be our response when we think above the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. Praise and worship should bubble from our inmost beings, that we exalt the name of Jesus, our spirits lifted high with praise, thanks, love, faith, and hope when we speak the name of Jesus. In Christian circles, we end our prayers in the name of Jesus. And it's such an important thing in the Bible. A person's name was connected to their reputation, to their authority. So when we pray in the name of Jesus, we're praying according to his reputation, according to his power, which is at work within us. We're praying in his authority that he has given to his chosen people, because we bear his name. We are Christians, those who belong to Christ. We bear his name and who we are, part of our identity. And so when we pray, our prayers do not need to be weak or ineffectual, closer in nature to wishful thinking, but rather that we are declaring the will of God on earth, that we're ushering in something of the kingdom of God to earth in the authority and in the power, in the fullness that we have in Jesus' name. We don't have to come as begging for crumbs from the table, but we come as sons and daughters of the King who bear his name, and we can declare the kingdom of God over our town and city and province and country and over the world. And so let us lift up the name of Jesus, for his name is above every name. Thank you, Jesus, that we have the privilege and the honor that we can worship you, this great God of all the universe, the one who stepped out of heaven for our sakes, who lived a life on earth in perfect obedience to your Father, who died that terrible death on the cross. But Jesus, because of your obedience to the Father, because of your death and your resurrection, you have been given the name that is above every name. And this morning we come and we lift up your name, Jesus, for you are worthy of all exaltation, all praise, all honor that we can muster within ourselves. And thank you, Jesus, that you have given us your name, that we are known as the people who follow Jesus, people who belong to Christ, to this great God, this name that is above every name. And thank you that with your name comes power and authority, and that we can represent the fullness of God, of Jesus, through your name. And so we bless you, we thank you, we honor you, we praise you this morning. In that mighty, precious name of Jesus, amen.
Well, we caught a couple members. We're just switching songs here to Jesus, Jesus' name above all names. If you'd like to look at it in your red hymn book, it's number 112, but the words are very simple. We'll sing it through twice, Jesus' name above all names.
Thank you, Jared, for sharing with us this morning. We're just going to close our service with a word of benediction from Hebrews 13. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you so much for coming this morning. Have a great day.